Well, have you ever wondered what your great-great-grandfather did for a living, or if the family story of a famous relative is really true? Genealogy has been a popular hobby for many looking for answers, and these days advances in digital research offer new opportunities for those plotting family trees. We'll talk about some of these new digital tools, and who knows, after hearing this, you might decide to give genealogy a run for yourself. With us today are Cheryl Lang. She's a branch manager for the Midwest Genealogy Center. Cheryl, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you.
Kenyatta Berry is also here. She's a genealogist from the PBS series Genealogy Roadshow. And Kenyatta, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, Cheryl, maybe it's obvious, but why is genealogy as popular as it is these days?
Well,
what's going on?
It's because it has become easier than it was in the past. I think that 30 years ago, when you actually had to travel someplace to obtain that information, it was a lot more difficult. Now it is a few clicks of your mouse, and you can actually get results then.
Can you just tell from the center, your center, are more people coming in all the time?
All the time.
Yeah.
The usage of both our print and our digital resources is just, we're busy.
Yeah. Kenyatta, watching Genealogy Roadshow makes a search for the family tree look easier, obviously, with digital technology. How much easier is it these days?
Well, it is definitely easier because of the access to resources online, census records, with the growth of sites such as, Ancestry, Family Search, and other digital companies. It does make it easier for individuals to find information. But there are still some records that are not available online. A lot of what we do on Genealogy Roadshow is that we actually get as much as we can online, but we do have researchers dispersed throughout the U.S. and some around the world, actually, who help us pull other documents that have not been digitized.
Like, what kinds of records aren't available, Kenyatta?
So I would say a lot of the records that we pull would be pension records, and those some of them are available on Fold 3, but some of them are not available. So that would be Civil War pension records.
Pension records you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed the word. Yeah,
yeah.
Pensions. Okay, yeah.
Pension records, yeah.
And those are valuable why?
Well, that's from serving in a war. So pension records for maybe the Civil War are very valuable because they provide information about the family. Right. So maybe their parents, their children, their location, what happened during the war, what happened after the war. A lot of these pensions were filed in the 1880s, some in the 1890s. And because of the census, the 1890 census not being available, typically you encounter a 20-year gap between 1880 and 1900. And that is somewhat difficult for individuals to find information.
You know, your show is sponsored by Ancestry.com, which is one of those digital tools. Tell us how Ancestry.com works, Kenyatta.
Sure. So Ancestry is a subscription-based site, which means that it is you have to pay either monthly subscription or annual subscription. And with that subscription, you get access to records from around the world, depending on your level. And those records include census records, vital records such as birth, marriage, death. They recently released about 2 million images for wills and estates.
Wow.
Those are only indexed by the decedent's name, the person who died.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that person's name, then it's great. And then you'd have to look through the entire document to find other information about the family members. There's some newspapers that are online, and they have a couple of, I would call, specialized content for different counties in different states or different parishes in Louisiana. So it's really a treasure trove of information, and they've kind of been sort of at the forefront of digitizing records, but definitely there are others who are close second or are still digitizing records too.
And users can try out Ancestry.com for a week or two for free, right?
Yes.
Yes, you can do a free trial.
Yeah. Yes, you can do a free trial for a couple weeks.
Cheryl Lang, you know, a similar site is FamilySearch.org. Who runs that, and does that also require a paid subscription?
No, that is a free usage. It is run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but it is available for anyone. You do not have to be a member of that organization.
Even Episcopalians might benefit
from
that.
Exactly. Anybody and
Someone
everybody.
Someone like me, yeah. Okay.
We have a partnership with them so that we can help digitize materials from our library to put on that site, too.
And Cheryl, you know, when I'm using one of these sites, if I find an ancestor and someone else I don't even know has found that same ancestor on his or her tree. Will the website notify us of that? Is there some cross-pollination going on here?
That's become a very popular feature of some of the subscriptions, is the little wiggly leaf that you might find in Ancestry or in Family Search, the notifications, yes.
Yeah. Cheryl, what you say when it comes to starting a search, it's better to start with yourself and work backwards. Why is that better than starting, you know, with that famous ancestor we've been told about who was George Washington's right-hand lieutenant or something and working forward?
Well, sometimes those family stories are not true.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. And some of those.
Say it's not true.
It is. When you first opened and you mentioned of why people would want to start looking, and they hear family stories. And that's why I started. 1980 is when I heard had a family story. I wanted to know what was true about it and what was not.
You know, Cheryl, these things, people think maybe you get in for a day and you get the whole thing worked out. These things can take a lot of time, right?
The shows that are on TV now, the Finding Your Roots and Genealogy Roadshow, are really fun and awesome. And but they do set up expectations sometimes when people come into the library of, where is the box with all of my information? Well, let me tell you, as soon as you put that box together, we'll have it for you.
Yeah. Kenyatta, respond to that. I mean, these things do take a certain amount of time most of the time, right?
Yes, they do. Even though we do make it look somewhat easier on
TV. It's TV, Kenyatta.
It's TV. So in the background, we have, like I said, a team of researchers, and we've been working on these stories for months prior to them actually airing. But I think the premise and the way it's set up, and because of the way that the vendors are set up, it does look like people show up that day and say, hey, tell me about my family. But that doesn't actually happen. I do think that one of the benefits of shows like Finding Your Roots or Genealogy Roadshow, or even Who Do You Think You Are, is that it does raise the level of interest in genealogy to those who haven't been researching their family for 20 years like I have, right?
Right, right.
So it reaches a brand new audience, which I think is great for everyone who loves genealogy and has been obsessed with it forever, which typically our most hardcore genealogists have been doing it for a long time.
Let me go to some phone calls here, and at 816-235-2888. Let's go to Debbie from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Debbie.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a kind of strange question, but I'll keep it brief. I'm actually trying to get a copy of my birth certificate. I was born in South Africa, and then I'd like to trace my family that way. The South African red tape is ridiculous. I won't go into it, but I'm wondering if I joined, say, Ancestry.com, would I find that kind of information there?
Cheryl Lang with the Midwest Genealogy Center, weigh in here.
I think that people have a lot of ideas that everything is digitized and available online. All you have to do is sign in someplace and find that. Relatively very little is online. And especially when it comes to living people, those for privacy laws are just not available. Now, as far as South Africa, Kenyatta may have some more experience in research there.
Go ahead, Kenyatta.
I personally don't have experience in South Africa, but what I would agree that when it comes to privacy laws as it relates to living individuals, it becomes very, very difficult. And if you're already encountering red tape for your own birth certificate, then that's just a challenge.
Debbie, good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to Leslie from Overland Park. Leslie, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks, Steve and everybody. I wanted to real quickly point out that there are sites such as Ancestry DNA and 23andMe DNA where you can have your genome evaluated for relatively inexpensively, $99 to $199, and you can download your raw data and upload it into a site and get a report for $5. And I think that can be really valuable for people who maybe don't know which part of the world to look in for records, because the results can surprise you. It'll kind of tell you what your background is in the world.
Kenyatta, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that is typically, the test is autosomal, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, DNA. But it actually tells you your sub-Saharan African, your European, Asian, Jewish, Native American ancestry. And that is correct. You can find out where your ancestors came from in the world. The one caution I have for that is I see a lot of people doing DNA first and then trying to build a family tree. Mm. And while doing DNA is great because all of those companies have a cousin finder, a family finder, and maybe you connect with someone who can help you with your tree, you still need to do some of the basics with genealogy of interviewing your parents or your family members, starting with yourself first, working backwards. All of those things and solid research are still important. Yeah. DNA just enhances that.
Cheryl, I'm wondering, you know, just in reading about this, sometimes folks come across handwriting that's awfully difficult to decipher. How do you navigate that?
Actually, the handwriting is really not, once you figure out the curly Q's and the double S, et cetera, it's not that hard. And in addition, we've got books to help you. Yes,
oh, really?
There are still books in this world and libraries that you need to be able to look at.
Well, how can the Midwest Genealogy Center help folks out? And tell us where you're located and everything else, because you're with the Mid-Continent Public Library System.
Sure. It's the Midwest Genealogy Center, and we're a branch of Mid-Continent Public Library.
In Independence.
In Independence. Mid-Continent is all over three counties.
But you guys are in Independence.
We are in Independence, just one mile north of I-70, so we're real easy to get to. Just come on in. And that's the thing that's been really, truly wonderful about these television shows is that it has shown that you don't have to be a star to be able to find things. When somebody comes in and they don't know much, we are able to at least get them started on their genealogy. And it is a search, so it takes time.
Jim from Midtown, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about genealogy in the digital age. Jim, good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Quick question. I'm African American, and for Kenyatta, the question is, how can you get research for ancestors that were slaves, things like that?
Great question, Jim. Kenyatta?
Sure. So thanks for the question. The number one myth that African Americans have is that they cannot find their ancestry because of slavery, and that is not true. There are records related to slaves because slaves were property. What's important for African Americans is to find the last slave owner. Once you identify that person, Jim, that will be the person that you research. You research not only your African American family, but the slaveholding family, because any records tied to them, you know, any records of your ancestors who were slaves will be tied to that owner. Now, the next step or the big question is, how do I find that information? There are two paths for you to take. First, if your ancestor had an unusual surname, which means their last name was not very common, I would recommend looking in the 1870 census for whites with the same last name, if it's unusual, and then seeing if they owned any slaves on the 1850 and 1860 slave schedules. And if those slaves matched your ancestors, okay, their ages. The second thing, if you have a common name like mine, Barry, then I would suggest looking at the Freedmen's Bureau records. These are available online. They definitely have them at FamilySearch.org. And these records are bank records, but there are also other records related to schools. And there's a big project to digitize these records. You're going to look for labor contracts as well. So those are sharecropping agreements. Once you find a labor contract, then you should be able to trace your family back to the person that they were sharecropping for. That more than likely, not always, but more than likely, could have been the person that owned them prior to emancipation. I know that happened in my family.
Right. Well, Jim, I hope that helps. Thanks for the call. Cheryl, how far back have you traced your family?
I've got mine back into the 1700s in some lines. Other lines, you have brick walls that stop you, and that's with one of my great-grandfathers, and it happens to be just right here in Missouri.
Kenyatta, how about you?
So I've traced mine back to a slave born in 1790 in Virginia. Is the oldest line that I have. That's how far I've gone back. But obviously, as we were just talking about with African-American research, slave genealogy can be a challenge. It's not impossible, but it definitely can be a challenge.
Right. Back to some calls here. Dan from Overland Park. Dan, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My grandmother passed in 1993, and in cleaning out the house, we found two shoeboxes full of Catholic funeral cards. So I found over 400 cards that she had saved and had been handed down from her mother. So we were able to do a lot of genealogy at least set up an outline with that.
Cheryl, you were expressing there, that's a gold mine of a find here for Dan, it sounds like.
Oh, my heavens, it is. When you have that kind of an original source, and a lot of times they are, they're sitting in attics and they're not being shared with other people that are related as well. That's the part that we would love to be able to find those collections, digitize those, and share them.
Oh, that's great. We're going to have to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Cheryl Lang with the Midwest Genealogy Center and Kenyatta Berry, a genealogist from the PBS series Genealogy Roadshow. And you guys were great. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You bet.